Blog Talk Radio.
Great, hello. It's been a while since I've done an episode of my show. I apologize. I just got a little bit busy, and I got tired, and when I get tired, I don't particularly want to sit and talk for 15 minutes. Anyway, so here we are with episode 9. We're still reading Displaced by J.F. Jenkins, and we'll just continue where we left off. Wiccan is about to go into the deep for the first time, and yeah, we'll go from there. All right. Here we go, Displaced. Chapter 22, Wiccan. I know Patriarch said not to stare at the Aquavon. That was like telling a kid not to touch a hot stove. No matter how bad it was for me to do, I couldn't not look. The tall guy who had taken me from the mall had to have been one of these Aquavons because they were all big. I'm about 6'1", and I felt like a midget standing in front of them. Even each had to be around 8 feet tall. And all of them were skinny. Granted, all of them were muscular, but their frames were just so lean. The thing that I noticed next was how large their eyes were. Even with the proportioning to compensate for their height, their eyes were large and wide. I would guess about the size of a baseball. From the six of them who stood before us, I could tell that purple was a common color for the Aquavon irises, because over half of them had that color. One had orange eyes, and the last had a vibrant, almost fluorescent teal, and their skin. The orange glow of the deep made them appear fuchsia. I couldn't help but wonder what they looked like under normal lighting. At least I made sure not to be blatant with my staring. I'd look at one alien, then take in the massive cavern-like room, then look at another. Other guys weren't being anywhere near as discreet. They stood with slack jaws and gaped. That ended quickly when Orange Eyes cracked a whip at one of the guys, hitting him square in the stomach. The guy fell to the ground, clutching his gut. His clothes didn't tear, so there wasn't any blood, but he'd have a nasty bruise soon enough. One of the purple-eyed aliens gazed down at us, making sure to study each and every one of us humans in the line. I want to say there were about 30 guys with me. We were being evaluated just by how we stood. I made sure to keep my posture strong, but not arrogant. Because even though Patriarch was worried about me sassing off, I was not an idiot. When needed, I could be an obedient yes man. The aliens didn't have much concern over hurting us. Being hurt is not one of my lifelong goals. Good enough motivation to be obedient if there ever was one. I am Jupiter, the one with the orange eyes said. Sir Jupiter to you, this is the deep, lowest place of the pit in the very center of our ship's salvation. As long as you remain in the pit, you will be referred to as an undesirable. Because of your actions, we have not proclaimed you worthy of the rewards of the obedient. Don the Teal Eyes took a step forward. Do not fear. It is not impossible to redeem yourself. While you have missed out on the chance to return to your home again, you can still be a part of the thriving society on the surface if you so choose. Neptune is the optimistic one, as you can see, Jupiter said. You'll be divided amongst the six of us, and you shall work while we evaluate you. Do as you're told, and things will go much simpler for you. Disobey, and there will be many problems. That is the way of an undesirable. You're here for a reason. We offered you a choice, comply or reject our kindness. You chose to reject it. Our pride is stung, and you must pay the price for that and repent. So many things I could say to his little speech. There was nothing kind about them coming to our planet and telling us to join them or suffer the consequences. Yeah, I did choose to take the risk and run instead of give in. But that didn't mean I was a bad guy or worthless. I suppose they didn't know if they could trust me, and that was the point of all this. They would break each and every one of us until we didn't have any will left to argue. Standing against them kept me further away from finding out what happened to Chevelle. I didn't listen to these aliens once. I wasn't planning on making that mistake again anytime soon. Silently, I prayed that I would be picked to work for Neptune. He seemed sympathetic enough. Perhaps I could show him with a good work ethic that this whole thing was a mistake and I didn't belong with the rest of the undesirables. I hated that term. Just thinking about it made my blood boil. Who were they to deem anybody as undesirable? They might as well have shoved us out into space to explode in the vast nothingness of space. Not Jupiter. Not Jupiter. Not Jupiter. I chanted over and over again internally. Jupiter pointed at me. You're going with Mercury. I exhaled slowly, trying not to show my relief. Mercury wasn't Neptune, but he wasn't Jupiter either. Funny how they all had names of Roman gods. Funny or arrogant. They had to have known what those names referred to. These aquavones seemed well-learned about our planet. Mercury silently led my group away and even deeper into the massive cavern. I couldn't help it. I had to look around like a tourist. There was just so much to take in. Human men were everywhere along the walls, hauling bags of what looked like garbage into large dumpsters, kind of like we'd see back home. Those dumpsters were rolled down to ramps to the bottom near where we were and placed onto a conveyor belt that led to a pillar in the center. It was the pillar that gave off all the light. While the structure itself was black, there were jagged cracks in the side where the orange glow oozed out. And I do mean ooze, because it reminded me an awful lot like liquid magma, beautiful and terrifying all at once. Jupiter said we were in the center of the ship. I was looking at the heart and soul, the blood, the very core source of power that was keeping all of us alive. What else could I have been gazing upon? I had seen more than a fair amount of science fiction movies. How big was the ship to begin with? I'm sure this isn't overwhelming for you to see, Mercury said. It took a moment to realize he was talking to me. I nodded, slowly, briefly glancing at him, but also afraid to look for fear of being punished. Yes, sir. This is the star. It replicates your sun, creating enough solar energy to power the entire ship and then some. Wow, I said, processing just what that all meant. Talking about intense technology, it certainly explained all of the heat. Mercury's eyes narrowed. Do you understand what I am saying? Oh, yeah, I said, nodding again. I mean, yes, sir. I do understand what that means. You are intelligent if this information is entertaining to you. Thank you, sir. Wasn't quite sure what to say in response to that one. Thank you seemed the safest. His gaze on me returned to normal. Interesting. Our task is to separate the trash. We have recycling, compost, and fuel. The star burns up all useless productions of the ship. Talk about the solution to global warming right there. Sorting trash didn't sound like a good time to me. Add on the fact that we didn't get any kind of nose plug and it was all around a miserable way to spend the afternoon. Watching what some of the other groups on the ground did, however, I considered myself lucky. Sorting was a lot more pleasant than disposing of body waste. Yeah, I'm talking about piles and piles of crap and pools full of piss. Those were across the way. I'd probably die if I had to work over there. Another group was doing a lot of heavy lifting. I'm strong, but not quite that strong. For the most part, I just kept my head down and worked. I didn't look at anyone else, not wanting to lose my resolve. The other guys were still clearly shaken up. Most were pale and clumsy while they did their job. I certainly wasn't going to hold it against them, but the aquavons might. Maybe there was something wrong with me since I was the only person there who didn't seem to have some kind of a meltdown. What did that say about me? That I was working with no fear and no problems? How did I get to be so desensitized to life? Things suck at home, but not that much, right? It's hard to say. I turned off my ability to feel pain, regret, and all-around suffering a long time ago. Doing so is what helped me stay realistic for most of my life. Realism gets a person a lot further than fluffy dreams. Not to say it's bad to be ambitious, but I feel like a dream and an ambition are two different things. It's ambitious of me to want to get out of my small apartment I share with my mom, to go to school, and not get myself caught up in a stupid stuff like my older brother. Those things are all obtainable. Now say I wanted to become an underwear model or a famous singer. Fluffy dream. Sure, I'm dreamy to look at, but I can't carry a tune to save my life. Besides, I didn't have that kind of luck. I'd probably also get really bored. The one thing that's kept me out of going to college is not knowing what I want to do with my life. A lot of kids go to school not knowing. I'm young. Why did I have to decide my whole life now? I've heard all of the excuses in the book. The thing is, it does cost a lot of money to go into school. If I just went to college with no direction whatsoever, I'd be wasting my time and money. But I had no clue. I suppose none of that mattered anymore. Patriarch said it. The Aquavon said it. I was stuck on the ship for the rest of my life. It was time to make some new ambitions. The most important thing for me was finding out what happened to Chevelle. No clue how I was going to begin looking for her, but she had to be around here somewhere. If she complied with the aliens, she'd be in the spot they had called the surface. Maybe I could ask Patriarch for some information on all of that. Would that Timber guy be with her? I shook that thought aside. The other thing I needed to focus on is making sure I got myself a decent job. Patriarch ran a restaurant of some kind, and that was a lot better than working down in the deep, that's for sure. He and the Aquavons kept mentioning how I would earn my way to the surface, especially if I found a woman or something. Still not sure I understood all of that. Why a woman? Patriarch had mentioned how the ladies were perceived as the most important to the Aquavons. But how would one of them get me a ticket out of this nightmare? And I'm going to stop early. I know I've got 6 minutes left, but I think if I keep going, I'm going to end in the middle of a chapter, and I hate to do that. I think everybody knows that. So we'll just call it a short episode, and I'm planning on doing two more this week, so we should catch up soon. But yeah, so we'll stop now, and I will be back maybe even tomorrow. We'll see. All right, bye.